aboard, you people. This is Starship Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis off for another day of broadcast insolence.
Go White Sox.
Yes, it was quite a fun day.
Fun day at the ballpark.
We are back in our main studios here in downtown Chicago. Mr. Richard Roper joins us. He was out there with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me out there. We had a great time at the ballpark.
Kevin was there. Lauren Lapka was there. Quite honestly, at one point, Kevin, I think, wanted to start a fight in the middle of the concourse. I don't know what's going on there.
Guy looked
some
at
words,
me weird.
Words were exchanged. That sounds about right for Chicago. Looked at me weird,
It's a Sox game.
Yeah, it was a Sox game. It was crowded out there.
Yeah, almost 33,000. I did not know we had seats in the vaping section, so that was fun to see for a while.
They just started that this year, I think. A lot of vaping.
Reminded me of the old Comiskey Park, you know, circa 73, where they used to call it the world's largest outdoor saloon, and everybody had a cigarette.
Yeah.
And apparently sitting is optional, you know, right in front of everybody.
It was fun watching that guy hitch up his pants, wasn't it, Lauren, for about an inning and a half in front of us.
I was about to go buy him a belt, honestly.
But it was, all right, so one guy, just one guy was standing in front of those two.
Great group, a lot of fans of the show came by and said hello. It was very nice.
It was really, really, really great. So we would like
win?
It was a big win, and it's fun.
Exciting game.
It is very, it's also, it was just, I think they're on to something this season. So be a lot of fun to watch and listen to for the rest of the year. All right, coming up, listen to this. Mm-hmm. Okay. We got the news coming up right now, and then on the other side, a Carnarvon wagon rollout.
Nice.
Which is critically important. Mm-hmm. Critically important.
It's Friday.
One of our favorite bands is here, Rosie and the Rivets.
Love them.
Mr. Richard Roper is here, and he's going to be telling us about two movies that are coming out this weekend. We did a couple of them yesterday, but we have two others we'd like to mention.
Absolutely.
This weekend that are going to be happening. One that has got the Taraji P. Henson in it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And this is it's kind of based on a true story. And then friend of the show, Emilio Estevez.
That's right.
Making his return to this program this week. And he has a new film out as well that you're going to want to talk to us about. All right. All that's coming your way. But first, Kim Gordon has got the news brought to you by Team Hochberg.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Yeah! Drink, man, I'm going to get gas. Going to get high, man. A triple shot of that stuff. Gonna get drunk, won't you listen right here? I want one bourbon, one shot, one beer, one bourbon, one shot, one beer.
Tastes great, makes women appear more attractive, and makes a person virtually invulnerable to criticism.
Alcohol is a way of life. Alcohol is my way of life. And I aim to keep it.
Find it, buy it, make it. I don't care. Just get me some booze and fast.
I can't take this much longer. I gotta have a beer.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Yes, no, just did. What the hell was he thinking? From now on, I ain't never gonna know just. You're Jesse from now on. You don't even get the you no more. That you was respect. You ain't getting no respect from me.
Yeah, with nobody else. Yeah, it's the Carnarvon Wagon. It is out.
Yes.
I must admit
that
the Carnarvon Wagon might have been out for...
Since 10 o'clock this morning for you?
Yes, it might have been.
When you were over at the ballpark and the court and carry?
There's always a guy at the ball game who stacks his cups of beers. And there's a guy who, it's like a trophy. He walks out of the park with 10 of them stacked together.
Yeah. On the south side, his name is the guy's actual name is Stax Cups. We know him.
I walked into Cork and Carry, and there's people with like eight cups deep. Yeah. Like, okay, here we go.
Good morning, and they said good morning to you.
All right. Well, I will admit, I've been up since very early this morning.
Definitely was not row. That's what I'm saying.
I had to get up. You know, to go do the morning show with Justin. I had to be there at nine.
Yeah.
You know, and so I got up at the crack of seven, and you know, for me, I'm a creature of the evening.
Uh-huh. So that's hard work to get up that early.
Yes, when you go to bed at 3, it's hard to get up at 7.
Sure.
So this is my great sacrifice, and we went over to Cork and Carry, which is an amazing place.
The best.
And then the next thing you know, Goose Island is being poured. the 312.
That's right.
And we were having some,
can't be rude. No. Turn things down. Then, nope. Someone goes by, oh, Rodan, I love you guys. Like, okay, yeah. Thank you, Modelo.
Fine sponsors of the program. Constellation Brands was there. That's another.
Yeah,
they've got,
right?
They've got the Modelo, and they're the official sponsor of the White Sox. So,
and who was looking at the clock anyway? I mean, you didn't know it was 9:45 in the morning when you started drinking. 9:47, whatever it was.
This is basically where on a test, if they ask you this,
okay,
like, what's the earliest you ever started drinking? And that's when they immediately go, we have a brochure here for you. There are a number of fine programs that you can go into that might be able to help you.
I don't like any of those tests where they say if you score more than 4 out of 12, you have a problem. And I'm like at 7 on the 8th question.
Yeah,
prepare for that.
Right, I don't finish
your test. Do you speed too much? Are you uptight? Do you have anger issues? What do you mean?
You drink to fix your problems in life?
Anyway.
Canary wagon's rolling.
Yeah,
that's a good thing.
Right.
Now we're classing it up, though, a little bit.
Yes.
Big time.
Yeah, actually, we brought the wine in.
Yes.
Not the kind of wining I normally do. This is actually a real wine. This is a thing called the Somm Madness. It's sort of like March Madness, except it's for sommeliers.
Cool.
And we have Adam Sweeters, who is with us. And Adam is the creator of Somm Madness and wine director at Dynamic.
Dynamic Group, yes, sir.
It's Dynamic Group, and that's a DINEAMIC.
Oh, yep, 5 restaurants in Chicago, soon to be 7. We have Prime and Provisions.
Oh, sure.
Siena Tavern, Bar Siena.
Oh, wow.
Never heard of any of those.
Barrio, Public House.
Never heard of any of those.
Great.
Never heard of any of those. I would like to say I've eaten at many of those. All of those, as a matter of fact.
Me too.
All of
I have a quick name drop for you.
Please.
Story. Just a couple of weeks ago, my dear friend Jane Lynch, who, as you guys know, I went to high school with from Glee and every place else, she was in town, and we went to Siena Tavern, and we had the greatest time there. Had a nice little lunch.
That was good. Did you go to the Siena Tavern or to the one at
the Tavern?
There's Tavern and then
Bar
Siena. Bar Siena,
we did Tavern.
Yeah, those are both.
We had a great time.
Well, that's at the great Fabio Viviani.
That's the great Fabio Viviani.
Yeah.
He should do some media once in a while. We'd like to get him in the spotlight.
Drag him in here.
Very shy individual.
What a lovely man, though. Yeah. Just wonderful. I've never seen him.
I think, Barrio is brand new. That's next to Siena, right?
That's open a little over a year.
Yeah. Great food.
Yes, featuring a little more Mexican cuisine flair. Because Tsuji Tanabe is also a Top Chef alum. But if you haven't been there, it's pretty phenomenal.
Fabulous.
Yes.
Nice job. Very nice job.
Yeah, congrats.
Very lucky to be a part of that group.
Very good suite of product there. And that Bar Siena is a ton of fun. And the food is great there, too. As I said to Fabio, it's like you can do bar food and make it amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And which is what you guys did.
So. Out of my entire group, Bar Siena and West Lube is by far my favorite restaurant. And I'm a sommelier, so you would assume Siena Tavern or Prime and Provisions would be my favorite. But the food, the atmosphere, the ambiance, the quality, it's just
it's all
perfect.
Going on there.
It's perfect.
Yeah. It is.
All right. Now, so you brought the wines in. Now, explain what this is. This is actual competition between sommeliers?
Yeah, so it actually goes beyond sommeliers. So it's sommeliers based this year across from the country. We have 8 different markets who have signed up to fly in to compete.
Uh-huh.
It's also the people who sell to sommeliers, which Matt with us today, last year's champion, is one of those guys. And we actually have consumers this year, people who just think they know a lot about wine and want a chance to win $10,000 because that's what we're playing
for. So they present the wine.
No, so they sit up on a stage, head-to-head, just like March Madness. There's 64, the exact same
brackets.
Format.
Yeah.
They go head-to-head, and you move on all the way to the final.
And how do you move on?
Yeah, what do you do?
There's an abbreviated scoring list. So you have to be able to call the right acid, the varietal, where it's from, the alcohol percentage.
Oh, gosh.
All these kind of different things that we're trained on a daily basis. Mm. To understand, and we're expected to know and be able to relay that to our guests.
Mm-hmm.
But from a consumer basis, to see this is pretty impressive.
There's so you throw out a particular label to them?
Yeah,
or
they
you
don't
have to
know.
Do it by taste?
Yeah. Yeah, it's all by taste. So
all right, I'm going to try this.
Yeah,
okay.
It'll all
go
come
for it, bro.
In a glass, and you have no idea what it is.
All right, so I'm going to start with this kind of a deeper red right
okay.
here.
Okay.
Right.
If you want some help, let me know.
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you right now by looking at this deeper red that there's... I'm swirling it now in the glass,
yeah.
and I'm looking at the legs,
okay.
you know, to see how it drips. So it's going to have a higher alcohol content here because this thing is like sticking to the
ding, ding.
Yeah.
Watch out.
Someone
yeah.
knows
dangerous.
Something. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he's like Duke
oh,
yeah. going into this, though, yeah, but watch out. He might be out pretty soon. Yeah.
Zion might blow out a sneaker at some point.
I think that's highly possible.
Right, exactly. that's all right. So now on the nose, hold on. We're going to... it's deep notes here. This is a bigger, like a cab.
Correct.
I'm going to guess right here.
Definitely a deep wine. So that yes. you're on the right path of just knowing that this is a full bodied wine.
Yes.
Exactly. And Merlot.
That'll actually
I see
help
some cherry
you,
notes. Some
that'll
cherry
actually
notes.
Help you understand where the wine's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's a full-bodied wine that
this is a California
rich,
wine for sure.
It's got to be from somewhere warm.
Yes, yeah, so it's California.
It has to be warm.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you right now, this is domestic. This is California. I'm going to go.
Wow.
I'm going to go Napa. It could be Sonoma, but hold on. No, definitely Napa. I can smell the cherry wood of Napa.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I got that. All right, so now. There's also a little salinity to what's going on here
mm-hmm.
too. So I'm going to guess it's definitely going to be Eastern Ridge, but that's just my guess.
Calling coastal.
Yeah,
calling the coastal yeah. Eastern Ridge of Napa.
Yeah.
Love it.
Okay. I'm calling that.
Is he right so far? Are we saying yes
again
or no?
He's been really good
until
the
Eastern salinity.
GPS just went broken.
Back off that.
He was getting cocky. Yeah.
Now he's just showing off. He didn't
hold
know
on.
Anymore.
All right. So I'm gonna take a little. Oh, wait. I would do the little thing where I'd swirl,
Let's
but instead
start
I'm
back
gonna just.
California.
Where's your spit cup?
He's still pretty impressive.
He's just. I mean, some of the harder things to get are realizing what a full-bodied wine really is.
Yeah. Well, it's real nice stuff. Right? They're real good right here.
You like my stuff, huh?
Yeah, it's real nice.
Matt,
it is very good.
Matt, why don't you tell
them
what
this is? This is actually one of the wines that my company, Foley Family Wines, distributes and supplies and produces, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
It's Roth. Cabernet Sauvignon. It's actually out of Alexander Valley.
Sure.
It is exactly what you're expecting, that full bodied. You know, I don't pick up the salinity, but you know, I mean your palate may just, you know, be better.
Just
than mine,
far
you know,
more
so
sophisticated.
Well, have you ever heard of that? You have to do 10,000 hours of something to get really good at it.
I mean, have you ever heard that theory?
I'd say the Som Madness champ just said your palate might be better than his.
Hey, yeah, so
that's impressive.
I mean, that really goes back to what's cool about Som Madness is that anybody could win.
It's
anybody's game, just like March Madness tournament. It's
and it isn't.
Game.
It is following up on what he just said there. It is interesting because a poor taster cannot win because you'd have to get lucky 7 times
right.
in a row.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
just not possible.
Yeah.
But a great taster out in a heartbeat. We had 2 master sommeliers compete last year. One lost in the first round.
Wow.
Got knocked out by a server at a local restaurant.
Wow.
The servers sometimes
right.
are
There's
really,
your North Carolina
you know,
right there.
Yeah.
Adios,
now,
amigo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. And the servers a lot of times too are very intuitive, just talking to the table, whoever's at the table, and just kind of, without being obvious about it, kind of picking up what they might be interested in or what might not really, you know, I don't want to say over their head, but really would be a little bit lost on them.
Absolutely.
For example, me, they usually just go by colors. You know.
Okay. So
can I ask real quick too, though?
Yeah.
Like in the competition, so there have been some non-professionals who have gone deep into the brackets. Then, like,
yeah, absolutely. So we have this year we have about 10 consumers competing. Last year I think we had about 6 or 7 consumers. A couple made it to the Sweet 16.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
there's a row in there next year.
Rounds. Yeah, I'm going to try the next red. There's another red
okay.
here.
All right, let's all see how right. you do on the next
Hold
one.
On.
One okay. number two.
Number two. All right, so now this is a little lighter body.
Okay, good.
Still pretty high in alcohol. Maybe not. It's dripping. You can tell by the drippage. Wow. The legs are running, as it were,
the
unlike
drippage,
mine.
Huh?
Yes. Drippage is not a proper term for a sommelier.
I like the legs a little bit more.
Yeah. That first one sounds more clinical.
It's just a little bit, you know.
I think drippage might be appropriate.
Yeah.
That's a little lower.
That's that training film where you join the army, you learn about drippage. That's a whole different thing.
I don't think this is a domestic.
Oh.
Okay.
Whoa. I'm trying it now, too.
It's
really good.
See, now I'm going one way or the other here.
I like that.
I'm going to have
good.
To just guess
it's one. I mean, it's very
terrific.
Smooth.
Like
it's lovely.
Really good.
Excellent.
It's got, I don't think this is the heartbreak grape, because I was thinking originally it was a Pinot Noir, and I don't think it is. I'm going to go up. Yeah, you think it is?
I think it's a Pinot Noir.
I think you might be in the right place right now.
Am I in Santa Barbara here?
You might want to venture a touch further north.
Oh. All right.
Maybe a little bit more than that.
San Luis Obispo.
This is how my mother...
I feel like it's a state north.
Like maybe it's Oregon. Like an Oregon Pinot Noir. Willamette Valley.
Willamette, yeah.
My favorite.
And now that's really funny that you should mention that. This is like my mother at the SATs.
Oh,
that's wrong! You're doing it wrong! All right.
See, I feel like this is you take
that's
a bottle
onto
the...
That's very similar to Adam at Sound Madness.
Who is this
He's
one?
Yelling at everybody.
I'm trying to rein everyone together. Yes.
So that is actually Four Graces Pinot Noir out of Willamette Valley.
Ah.
It's quite lovely, I think.
I love everything from there. Mm.
That's like you take a bottle and two glasses out to the back porch, you know, and you just enjoy it. With.
Not jammy, though. You know, that's one of the things that you're finding on some of these.
Your assessment was pretty good when you originally said it wasn't domestic, because Oregon Pinot is like your first step away from a domestic style. Now you're kind of approaching like a French style, like that Burgundian style. Cooler climate.
Yeah.
All climate driven. So cool climate, you get that earthiness. Warm climate, you get that fruit.
See, I was halfway there. All right, I'm gonna assess white coming up a little bit later on.
And Jesse,
yeah. No, this there's
Betty.
That'd be a great film, film and wine festival. Betty White and Finest Whites.
Mr. Roper is here, and if you would like to take part in this. Can people still take part in this?
Yeah, absolutely. So the consumer element, there's tickets still available. We're actually featuring what's called the Tailgate Tasting. It's at 4 o'clock on the day, and it's going to feature over 200 wines from across the world.
What if you just want to drink? Fun. You don't have to do anything,
absolutely.
Right?
You just walk around, drink. The food display is amazing. Like one of my biggest pet peeves about industry tastings like this is the food always sucks.
Yeah,
it's just bread, it's cheese, like some cured meats, and that's it. This Sound Madness Tailgate Tasting, king crab, oysters, shrimp, prime steak, Siena Tavern's
really?
All for $100
Oh my God, is that?
I mean, get out. All that for $100 and then you get to attend the actual competition for free.
Okay, what if I just want to stand outside and keep eating? Can I do that?
You know what? The food's going to move, so I think you're going to have to follow the food as we go.
Right.
Because during the event...
All right, where am I going for this?
This is at Builder's Building. It's in the same building as Prime and Provisions at 222 North LaSalle.
LaSalle and Wacker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right there in the corner.
Right.
You walk by Prime and Provisions, you're always envy the people you can see there that are enjoying their lunch or dinner.
That's true.
So happy.
So what do you, I want to go in there.
Yeah, right this, it's very comfortable chairs. Yeah. And people are always like wearing suits and stuff like that. And it looks like somebody's doing a very major business deal.
Decisions are being made.
There should be a Pritzker in there at any given moment making some sort of a deal. All right, stand by. Nobody move. Right now, we're going to find out from Kim what's going on at the top of the hour.
Roe President Trump spent some time at the southern border today.
Coming up, Stories of Matter with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. All right, Psalm Madness is here. Third annual Psalm Madness, which is an event that you can attend on April 14th, 4 p.m. A little day drinking, although who am I to judge after what just happened? Third annual Psalm Madness presented by Chicago-based hospitality group Dynamic, and this is going to be at the Builders Building, 222 North LaSalle Street. People can just should they make a reservation to do this? What are they doing?
There's actually a limited amount of tickets left. We're doing very well right now, but we do have some, so you need to jump on psalmmadness.com.
That's S-O-M-M. M-A-D-N-E-S-S.
Three M's, correct.
Three M's. Yep. Psalm, Madness. S-O-M-M, and then Madness.
Correct. .com, or you can just search for it on Eventbrite.
Okay.
Yeah. And reserve your ticket. Yeah.
And this is where you get to, and some people are going to be competing and guessing wines, and then there are some amateur hacks like myself, and sometimes you never know who goes deep, right, in the tournament. That's always the case. Yeah. Austin P. You never know who's going
to
be.
Although it also would be fun to see that one guy, and it's almost always the guy that knows everything, and he's going to bring some people there to impress, and he's going to be in there, and he gets knocked out in the first round. They're like, okay, Chauncey, maybe next time someone else can look at the wine menu when we go out.
It was very entertaining. Last year...
You guys are very diplomatic. Yeah.
No, it was great. Last year, two number one seeds got knocked out in the first round.
So. It happens. I'm going to guess what this white is. It's a Chardonnay.
Look at this guy.
It is a Chardonnay. It's a very light Chardonnay, though.
He hasn't entered under a pseudonym.
I'm texting the answers underneath the table here. No, you're nailing it, man.
It's a light Chardonnay. You know I have no idea where the hell it's from.
Rose the sleeper pick in the tournament. Look out, folks.
California. Let's guess California.
Yeah, it's going to be California.
California, yeah, definitely, definitely. So that's actually one of our estates, probably our most iconic estate, Chalk Hill. You probably have heard
of it
before.
Oh, I've had Chalk Hill.
Yeah,
so this is our Chalk Hill Sonoma County Chardonnay.
There you go.
Not overly oaked. It's got that crisp, bright fruit.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very nicely done.
Excellent.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
And there's also a lovely lady here with you who's helping all of this out. She seems to be the brains of this operation. I can tell right now by looking at her. All right. We have got the news coming your way in 2 little minutes. Alright, that is Rosie and the Ribbits, recorded live at our Halloween show actually it's a year and a half ago now.
They are so great.
At Huffrow House, 10/27/19. I love that album. Mm. It was from their first album, 10/27/19. And they're going to be playing live for you, coming up right here from Studio
cool.
G. And you hear a little different thing. That's a great room, by the way. That's a big, loud, raucous music room right there at the Brow House. But this is going to be an intimate presentation of huge rockiness. Because you got Rosie and the Rivets. And if you ever get an opportunity to see them, they are so fun. It's sexy. They're a sexy band.
Yeah, they are. Fun to watch. Yeah. Fun to listen. Just, oh, gosh. Yep.
Really good. Really, really good.
Great performers. Great artistically.
Yeah. All right. Mr. Richard Roper
was
yesterday telling us about a couple of films. You want to just kind of go back through some stars here?
Yeah. We talked about Shazam, which has got Zachary Levi in the live version of the story of the 14-year-old kid who becomes a superhero. Basically, Big meets Superman. And we love that. 3.5 stars. I think it's a lot of fun. You know,
and
really
good
cool.
For kids because it's PG.
I mean, it is PG. It's PG-13, actually. Oh. So it's a little dark in places. But that's also got that cool double layer thing, so mom and dad or you know whoever is taking the kids will enjoy it.
But it's
so
not an R. It's not a hard R.
No. It's PG-13. I'm nothing a 10-year-old or an 8-year-old at this point in time.
Unlike Deadpool, which
nothing. No innuendo or any of that. So we love Shazam, and then Pet Sematary, which is the second major film adaptation of the great Stephen King novel, which I believe might just not be suited for adaptation because the larger themes in the book get lost. I did not like it at all. Two stars for that. And I'll say this too, Pet Sematary obviously is R-rated, but it is really grisly and grotesque and disturbing. So
not for the kids at all.
Not, I don't think, for most
adults
even. But you know, I know some people love horror myself, but I like horror that's, you know, thoughtful and interesting and provocative. And yeah, it can still be bloody. You know, Halloween and films like that are a lot of fun. I just found this one, especially because it involves children and pets, to be exploitative and sadistic, quite frankly.
Can't have that.
So, no, it was a great morning team that did not last that long. Exploitative and sadistic. I believe they used to team up with Alex Jones
Z95.
Back in the day. Yeah, baby. Okay, what else you want to talk about? We've got a ton of other movies coming
out. Well, I wanted this movie that's... You know, we always want to talk about movies that are advertising heavily on television. So this is Best of Enemies.
Yeah.
And it's Sam Rockwell, who wins an Oscar every hour on the
That's
hour.
That's true.
Whether
He's
he
amazing.
Likes it or not. And Taraji P. Henson, she is the fellow cast member of Empire with Jussie Smollett.
Yeah.
Don't get me started!
Taraji is she's an honorary Chicagoan by now after her 5 years and more coming with Empire and, we love Taraji, and she's a terrific actress. All right, let me tell you guys the background of this story really fast. Best of Enemies, because it's one of those where it's based on a true story that makes you want to read more about the true story. 1971, Durham, North Carolina, there was a case in front of the court about desegregation of schools, because guess what? After 1954, a lot of local municipalities were like, "Now that's good for you, but we'll keep things as they are." So this was all about whether or not, after a fire in the black school, would the kids be allowed to attend the white school? So there would be integration. They actually put together a panel of local residents, and on purpose, the chairs of the panel were Taraji's character, Ann Atwater, who was a longtime civil rights activist, African-American single mother, and Sam Rockwell's character, who was the head Kliegel of the Ku Klux Klan.
Head Kliegel.
Oh, my gosh.
And out with it. They were not, they were not secretive in 71 in North Carolina. He was a pillar of the community, of that community. So Sam Rockwell plays the racist KKK guy. Taraji P. Henson plays the longtime civil rights activist. They have to get together and hash this thing out, all based on a true story. An amazing story, because in the 30 years after that, these two became very good friends and actually, you know, really reached some understandings together and would tour the country talking about, hey, if a African-American single mother who got pregnant when she was 13 and raised all kinds of kids on her own and is always, you know, fighting for the truth, justice in the American way, and the head of the KKK can become friends, there's hope for this country. That's a great story. The movie, not so much. I gave it 2.5 stars. I'm close on it because it is such a great story. But they do it in such a heavy-handed way, you know, with the evil against the good. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I have, the problem I have is the same criticism some people had of Green Book, which was the white guy teaching the black guy all about, you know, life. And in the last half of the movie, half hour of the movie, the Sam Rockwell character, the KKK guy, kind of becomes the hero when it should be more about Ann Atwater, the civil rights activist. So I thought they went down the wrong path.
Wait, she become a racist? How does this work?
She just sort of, everyone's sort of marveling at his, you know, transformation, but it's like he transformed his feelings and his person
on his own,
his
as opposed to at her
because of her. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. So 2.5 stars for Best of Enemies.
Is this one any Oscar at all, even though it's
no.
because of the performances?
I think they would think so. And you know, the other thing is, you know, Sam Rockwell just played this guy in 3 Billboards 2 years ago.
Right.
The corrupt racist guy who then has a, you know, a transformation, won the Oscar for that. Mm-hmm. He's great at playing that. But if I were Sam Rockwell, who could do anything, I would say to my agent, no more Southern racist authority figures who have a, you know, a miraculous change of heart.
All right. Now,
how about that?
Not the one to rush.
No, but it is the kind of film, I think, you know, when it comes out on video in the next, you know, three months, probably, it's an enjoyable.
Is it worth the $3.99 on the rent, or just wait for Netflix?
I'd say it's worth the $3.99 on the rent, not the $12 and the babysitter and all the stuff you have to do to go on a Friday or Saturday or something.
Right. All right. Okay. All right.
Good to know.
And also this weekend. It is now escaping me.
Well, let's talk real quick. Do we have time to talk? I want to mention, first of all, The Public. And the full interview that we did with Emilio Estevez and Rhymefest, I know it's available right now and up and running on the website. So people can check that out.
WGN Radio Plus.
Exactly. So
.com/plus.
You can find out a lot more about that movie. I'll just say briefly, it's worth checking out. 3 stars. It's a cool, socially aware story set in the Cincinnati Public Library. And it has to do with the homeless uprising. But there, people get a lot more information already there. And then
just
I'd like
to go to WGNRadio.com. I'm blowing this
there
whole
you
plug.
Go
there, and you can find
it's right there.
It's all part of the podcast.
And they were, we had a fantastic conversation.
Yeah.
The five of us, we could have
really
been sitting
great.
Around for 5 hours. We
totally.
Had a great time. Then the other thing I want to mention very quickly: this is available on CBS streaming. Which again, just you have to look it up. But
now, how do I get that?
You just go to your Google and type in your CBS streaming.
What if I want to do it on my TV?
And I think you can do it on your TV. It's the new version of The Twilight Zone, and I'm almost positive the first and second episodes are available for free. I know the first one
is also going to be on CBS too.
Right now, it's a streaming product.
Streaming only.
Yes, and this is Jordan Peele, who is as hot as anybody in Hollywood after Get Out and then Us. And I love the idea that he's doing a reboot of the classic television series, The Twilight Zone. Not the same episodes, but a lot of modern episodes that are similar to those great episodes. And he's also, and just to be the producer, he's the host. So, you know, if people recall, you'd get the little setup, and then right there in the courtroom, you'd pan, and there'd be Rod Serling. And people would be like, nobody else can see him, but we can. And now it's Jordan Peele in a suit, you know. Consider, if you will, Ro Khan went to Cork and Kerry at 9 in the morning, but later that day was at a wine tasting. But what he didn't realize was the wines had come from The Twilight Zone. And I think it's terrific. Episode to episode, I don't want to give it a star rating, but I'd say the series as a whole, I've seen the first 4 episodes, I'd say 3.5 stars.
Wow.
And, you know, if people remember, like, the classic Twilight Zone, William Shatner was a passenger on a plane, and he thought he saw a gremlin outside the window, and people thought he was crazy. There's a variation on this, where a guy's on a plane and thinks he sees something, but then it goes in a different direction. So each episode kind of harkens back to the original, but is a different version of it, not just a rewrite.
Well, now they tried that in the Twilight Zone movie in the late 80s.
Yes.
Right? Where they tried to do, they took original episodes.
They took 4 episodes and did an anthology movie. Yeah.
Right. And when you went back and watched the actual episodes,
right,
the episodes were so much better than the movie.
And that's, I think, the intelligence and brilliance here is, like, we're not going to just remake them, but we'll take similar themes. And there's one about a stand-up comic who finds out, Kumail Nanjiani, who just was nominated for Best Screenplay a couple years ago, lived a lot of work here in Chicago. He plays a stand-up comic who finds out, like, his observational humor on stage happens to people in real life. So if he does a joke about his mother-in-law, and I'm just using this as an example, the world would be better off if she were dead. Yeah. Ooh. He finds out what he says on stage happens. And that's actually based on a Rod Serling teleplay that never was produced, you know? So they're doing cool things like that. So they're putting modern twists on it, too, you know, adding new touches.
May I ask this question?
Yes.
And I ask this with all due respect to the rest of humanity.
Yeah.
But where did Jordan Peele come from? I mean, he's like, all of a sudden...
It's amazing, right?
This, I mean, he's been around, right? Yeah. I mean, Key and Peele
comedy.
And all that.
Sure.
But it's... what a breadth of, you know, just... he's got this gigantic canon mm-hmm. of work now, and it's all the best in each category.
High level stuff. Where I don't know if some of this, you know, were scripts he literally had in you know, drawers for years or whatever the case is. But like, for example, we talked about the horror movie that's doing, you know, great business, Us. There are something like 45 references to other horror movies and other pop culture things in that movie. That he does, where he will, something will happen to a character, and it's an exact shot by shot recreation of another movie's horror film, but it fits in with what he's doing. That's like, you know, the guitarist that says, I'm gonna just do this for a while, I'm gonna play upside down.
He's his own plot, because I don't think he's human. Huh. I don't think he sleeps. I mean, because everything he's making, it has his authorship in it.
Definitely.
It's amazing. He is the Alfred Hitchcock of this century.
That's a good point.
I think it's the most, like those two movies and now The Twilight Zone, it's probably the most impressive debut of a filmmaker since M. Night Shyamalan, when he first came out and it was like Sixth Sense and, you know, Signs and like, you know, five or six movies in a row where he was on the cover of Time magazine.
Yeah.
So he does Twilight Zone justice. And
he really does. And they have the original theme music and everything. Oh, so clearly they got the estate involved of Rod Serling. So that's cool.
I love Twilight Zone.
Okay. We've got live music from Rosie and the Riveters. Now I'm just freaked out. I gotta move to the end. That's what I got to do here.
You're going
to
love that series, bro. I'm telling you.
All right. We've got now. Let's do this. Check in with Kim. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Watch for Chicago's very own stories with Micah and Joe, Micah Mater and Joe Donlin, weeknights on WGN TV News at 9 o'clock.
It's Live Music Fridays. It's a Friday. It's Rosie and the Rivets, one of our favorite bands of all time.
Love them.
Here with us right now. And Rosie, you want to do something special right now. Is that correct? Do I have that right?
You've got it right, Ro.
Okay, what are we doing?
We're going to do Twist and Shout.
And why are we going to do Twist and Shout?
Because we love it.
All right.
Uh-huh.
Rosie and the Rivets right there. Kim Gordon's got the news, brought to you by Tortoise Supper Club.
Night was clear and the moon was yellow and the leaves came tumbling down. I was standing on the corner when I heard my bulldog bark. He was barking at the two gamblers in the dark.
All right, that's Rosie and the Rivets from 10/13/17. I love that album as well. They were performing at our old studios, and now we have upgraded them to Studio G. And this is one of the best local bands you're ever going to hear, you're ever going to find anywhere.
Yeah.
And first of all, let's just say that if you want to see them in sort of a real kind of cool, also super sexy setting, the Drake Hotel.
Yeah.
They do. They have a Drake Hotel Saturday nights, 9 o'clock.
Oh, that's
what was it, every couple of weeks? When is that?
Yes. Almost twice a month.
Okay, so tomorrow night is one. Tomorrow for sure. I like how she's like, well, as long as we're still employed. I'm not quite sure.
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah, yeah, it's a thing for all of us. And then on April 13th at Club Arcata in St. Charles. And then Sunday, April 21st, you can find them at Untitled for their big Easter brunch.
That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that is a crazy kind of a thing.
Yeah. I like the Easter brunch, too, because as a dude that goes to church, you know, all the time,
yeah,
you want to go to brunch on Easter because you have to come out of the mass where the priest yells at all the people who just show up twice a year.
I hate that. That always happens.
Oh, you got nice big hats today. I saw you had the poinsettias a few months ago. God hates you.
Right.
That's
where have you been?
Others say, I welcome all to the flock. All are welcome.
Right. And there's whiskey there, too.
Yeah. Well, there is also at some of the churches I go to.
Really? Yeah, that is really.
Sacraments. The Drake Hotel is a great place, by the way.
Palm Court.
Yeah, that is so cool.
Very sexy.
Rosie, who's really Christine Murphy. Do you want to introduce the rest of the Rivets to us?
Absolutely. On drums, we have the wonderful Mr. Jim Barclay.
All right, Jim.
Yes. Woo. On saxophone and all kinds of other things. Flute. He tap dances. We just found out.
Wow.
Kevin Gothorpe.
Woo, Kevin.
Kevin.
On lead guitar, we have Mr. Frank Canino.
Yeah,
singing some songs. Wearing that here.
Yeah.
And on bass, Mark Edelstein.
Nice.
Mark also does my taxes. Can I also say this?
He's the accountant. You can trust
him. Maybe it's a different Mark. I don't know. Well, it's taxes, and that's all I can think of. All right, now listen. That's true. We also have Bill Malone, our own Grammy Award-winning engineer.
Yes.
We just found this out last week.
He's very modest.
He is.
That he's won a Grammy.
Amazing.
If I won a Grammy, I would talk about it all the time.
If I still had a Grammy, I'd talk about it all the time.
Oh, God. Now I'm nervous.
I have a friend who won a Grammy, and all he does is talk about it all the time.
Right. You got to throw that in people's faces.
The Burning Bridges tour continues. No, but that's awesome, Bill. That's really cool.
All right.
Nice to have
you. All right. Here we go.
All right.
What do you want to play for us?
We're going to do Rockin' Robin for you right now.
Tweet, tweet. He rocks in the treetop all day long, hopping and a popping and singing a song. All the little birds on Jaybird Street love to hear the robins go tweet, 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 rock, robin.
Tweet, tweet,
rock, 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 robin.
Tweet,
go rock, robin, cause we really wanna rock tonight.
Tweet, tweet,
every little swallow, every chickadee, every little bird in the tall oak tree. The wise old owl, the big black crow, flapping our wings, saying, go bird, go, rock, robin.
Tweet, tweet,
rock,
tweet,
rock, robin.
Tweet, tweet,
go, rock, robin, cause we really want to rock tonight.
Tweet, tweet.
The buzzard and the oriole. He rocks in the trees up all day long, hopping and a bopping and singing a song. All the little birds on Jaybird Street love to hear the robin go tweet, 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 rock, robin.
Tweet, tweet,
rock, 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 rock
steady and bless my soul. Yeah, about the buzzard and the Oreo. Rocks in the treetop all day long. Hopping and a bopping and sang this song. All the little birds on Jaybird Street love to hear the robin go tweet, tweet, tweet. Rockin' robin,
tweet, tweet, tweet.
And rockin' robin,
tweet, tweet.
Go rockin' robin, cause I'm really one robin.
Tweet, 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 tweet. I said, hey, hey, yeah. I said, hey, 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 yeah.
I said, hey, 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 yeah.
I said, hey, 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 yeah.
Well, come on, everybody down to Basin Street, yeah. And we'll listen to the music when the Dixie let me. Mississippi down to New Orleans. I said, hey, 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 yeah.
I said, hey.
Mississippi down in New Orleans. I said, hey, 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 yeah.
I said, hey, 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 yeah.
I said, hey, whoa,
whoa, hey, whoa, whoa.
Come on, everybody down the Basin Street, yeah. Oh, 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 listen to the music with the Dixie Lampy, yeah. Mississippi down in New Orleans, boys.
From Studio G and Rosie and the Rivets coming your way live right here on WGN. But first, let's check in with Lauren Lapkin, find out what's going on the roads.
All right. You had a forum to share them.
Are we ready? Are we ready for more Rosie and the Rivets?
They are.
You
want to
do that?
Fantastic.
All right. What would you like to play for us?
Now, I've been working on the lyrics for this one the whole ride in. It was 15 minutes, so bear with me. I'm going to do my best. We're going to do a song called Tequila for you, Ro.
Oh, I have no idea what that's about. Go ahead.
tequila.
Interesting, because you said you'd been working on the lyrics the whole time.
I kind of screwed those up, didn't I?
I thought they were particularly great. I thought you did a really nice job with that.
It was so hard to not yell Cabernet.
Right, because there's a lot of flow in here in the studio.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to say one thing, Rosie, of Rosie and the Rivets, and you can see them tomorrow night at the Drake Hotel, that there is, there has been... Well, let's just say it's been a long day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's been a long day, and Daddy's a little tired. You know,
everybody behave.
Yeah, Daddy's. Oh, Daddy really. You know, he didn't sleep well last night. And it's time. You can do. We have time for another 2-minute song.
Ooh,
2.5-minute song. Nice. Can you do that?
Stagger Lee.
All right. Well, how about a little Stagger Lee?
There you go. Rosie and the Rivets.
The night was clear, and the moon was yellow. And the leaves came tumbling down. I was standing on a corner when I heard my bulldog bark. He was barking at the 2 gallon in the dark. Chocolate and Billy, 2 men who gambled late. Chocolate, 7 and Billy.